Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
And welcome back to another episode of the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And today we're having another dialogue conversation with someone who disagrees with the Catholic faith. And I'm excited about this because I'm really happy the podcast is going in this direction. There's very few podcasts or radio shows really outside of Catholic Answers Live in the Catholic world where you have people who are Catholic and non-Catholic getting together to have civil conversations. And that's important. We need to have these conversations to move closer to the truth and be able to understand who God really is, what his revelation is. We have to do that. And so I'm excited that all of you who are supporting the podcast are making that possible here. And if you want to continue to support the podcast so we can keep having these conversations, be sure to go to TrentHornPodcast.com for as little as $5 a month. You get access to bonus content, our study series. Silver level subscribers get access to the new Trent Tracks series, both How to Win Any Abortion Debate and A Catholic Guide to LGBT Plus Issues. So if you want access to those and you want to keep conversations like the one we will have today going, be sure to visit TrentHornPodcast.com. Now, without further ado, I received a message online from a gentleman, Mr. Tom Rafferty, and he thought it would be fruitful to talk with me about my position on atheism, the existence of God. So the conversation we're going to have today, the topic is, should we use philosophy to find God? How should we think about the existence of God? Is this a philosophical question? Is philosophy useful? I think this is one of the most fundamental questions that Christians and non-Christians actually have to resolve before they even talk about whether God exists or the Christian faith is true. And so I'm glad that Tom reached out to me. Tom, are you there?
I'm right here, Trent.
Okay, very good. Very good. So why don't you go ahead, add anything else I might have missed, and feel free to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Sure. I'd like to do this presentation or this discussion, Trent, in as fairly organized fashion as we can do it, because I want to make sure that as much as possible I'm understood where I'm coming from, and so there'll be very little misunderstanding where I stand.
Sure.
I would like to actually read verbatim the email I sent to you, just to clarify where I was coming from initially. Is that
okay.
All right with you?
Yeah, I don't remember it being too lengthy, so
no,
go right ahead.
It's going to take 20 seconds, that's all.
Go right ahead.
Okay, quote, I have watched a few of your debates against atheists and just want to mention a couple of things that you get wrong. First, philosophy will never lead to reality because it is not based on evidence. If it was a route to reality, philosophy would not have so many opinions and arguments regarding such. Two, most atheists I know are science-based thinkers and have arrived at the opinion that we just don't know if there's a God because there's no evidence for such, and all claims by all religions have been falsified by science. You continue to attempt to put the onus on atheists to, quote, prove, end of quote, there's a God. We just are not obligated in that regard because we're not making the claim. If you're all right with that so far, Trent, I'd like to go into a statement of the evolution of my worldview, preceded by my background, again, to give the audience a real feel for where I'm coming from in my history.
Tom, I'm willing to do that because you brought up about three or four different points here. We're not going to be able to get through all of them. And I do want to discuss them. I think that they're important. So I tell you what, I'll do that, but it needs to be brief. Could you do it in 30 seconds?
Absolutely.
All right, go right ahead.
Okay, I'm 74 years old. I grew up in the Boston, Massachusetts area. My wife and I have been happily married for 47 plus years. We have three children and four grandchildren. I'm a U.S. Army veteran. I'm a retired physical therapist / rehab director. Presently live in Charlotte, North Carolina, to be close to our grandchildren, and I do volunteer work in the community. My evolution of worldview is I was a cradle Catholic, and I was very serious about my faith until middle age. This included decades of teaching religious education at the elementary through high school levels, functioning as a Eucharistic minister, membership on the parish council, and even consideration of monastic life prior to college. And I'm going to cut it short by your necessity here, but I did a lot of thinking about my Catholicism and finally came to the conclusion that there wasn't enough evidence for support for my faith, and I'm very happy about it. So we'll leave that at that.
Well, let's jump into your email. Let's go through the points a little bit here to have a conversation.
Sure.
Here's point number one. Philosophy will never lead to reality as it is not based on evidence. First, what do you mean by philosophy?
Okay, here's my understanding, is basically philosophy is from the Greek word for love of wisdom, and in searching for other synonyms and so forth, I found that common sense and judgment came up more often than other things. Also, knowledge was mentioned occasionally, however, it was referring to intuition and subjective feelings. Intuition and common sense. I'm going to read now three paragraphs from a PhD psychologist published in Psychological.
Well, Tom, is there a way you could just give us a gist of what his opinion on intuition is? Does he not consider it reliable?
Okay. Let me say, read through this court. Okay, intuition and common sense can yield great insights. It's also absolutely no common sense to believe that the Earth is round or revolves around the sun. Our basic experiences of day-to-day tell us that the Earth is flat. The Earth comes up in the east and it spins around the world. Common sense tells us that the world is solid, but science tells us that it, in fact, is solid matter. The solid matter is comprised mostly of empty space and energy. That's the gist of what I
Okay,
to
so
say,
your
Craig.
Your point is... sometimes what's the world can seem to be one way and it actually is not. And I would agree with you on that point, but I don't think the problem here is I would not say that philosophy is just common sense or judgment. However, judgment is something everybody has to do. Judgment just means that you infer and understand a proposition and see if it leads to a conclusion. Judgments involve just understanding the world. Even scientists have to make judgments based on the data they have. This is the definition of philosophy. Here's the definition of philosophy that I like. It comes from the philosopher Alvin Plantinga. He says, philosophy is just thinking really hard about something. So I think that is a good, simple definition of philosophy. Philosophy is just thinking really hard about something. And so in that sense, philosophy is all critical inquiry, and there's different subsets in philosophy. Science is one of them, and that's the subset where you think really hard and do experiments. But the problem is that's one subset. It can't answer everything. So I guess my question for you is this. Do you think that there are questions worth asking that science cannot answer?
Not really. And I'll tell you why. If it can't be falsified, we just don't know.
Okay, so you're talking about the principle of falsification, that
exactly.
something cannot be proven true unless it can be falsified?
Right. In other words, if you present a claim or you want to discuss something that can't be falsified, there's several, in those situations, Trent, there's several differences of opinion. I'm sure you'd agree with that. But how are you going to determine, how are you going to justify, knowledge is justified, true belief, according to many people. How are you going to justify your opinion if there's nothing to look at objectively that you can say, there is evidence for that?
Oh, wait, hold on. There's two points you brought here, and I want to address both of them. First, this principle of falsification, can the principle itself be falsified?
It can be falsified, in my opinion, Trent, simply because it works. It's the basic principle of the scientific method. It's uncertain. It's inductive reasoning. It's not perfect, but it gives us the best understanding of our reality.
But here's the problem, though, that I agree with you that falsification, the idea that we have a good idea if something is true, if there's a way of falsifying that hypothesis, so a way of proving it contrary. So if I make the claim there are only white swans, that in principle can be falsified, because I've been to Australia and I stared face to face with a black swan once, actually. But the problem here is there's other things that we believe that are true that don't seem like they could ever be falsified. So, for example, here's a proposition. I exist. I, Trent Horn, exist. Or you might say I, Tom Rafferty, exist. That seems to be just indisputably true. It just has to be. Yet I don't see how it could ever be falsified.
I agree.
Okay, so then that I think, but then the problem there is the principle of falsification, it doesn't apply. So then the principle can't be universal. The other point I want to bring up is this. So you said knowledge is justified true belief. So that sounds like a claim. How do you know that that is what knowledge is? It sounds like you're doing philosophy. You're not doing science.
Well, knowledge, how would you define knowledge other than being able to look at it objectively, not subjectively, but objectively? Mm-hmm. And what are the tools that we have available to analyze whether a claim of knowledge is true or not?
Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree with you that justified true belief is a necessary condition for knowledge, but it's not necessarily sufficient. And in fact, philosophers, there's a near universal consensus among philosophers that justified true belief is not identical to knowledge, because there's counterexamples. Have you ever heard of something called the Gettier counterexamples?
No.
Okay, so Edmund Gettier came up with these in the mid-20th century. And basically, it goes like this. You could have a case where you have a true belief and it seems justified, but it was only through kind of a stroke of luck that you have it. And so it seems like you have justified true belief, but you don't really have knowledge. So an example might be if I'm driving through, I'm driving through a field or a rural countryside, and I see a barn and I say, that's a barn. And it turns out it is a barn, but around in this countryside, there's a bunch of fake barns that have been built as facades for a movie setting. In this case, I happen to get it right. But philosophers say, well, wait, it doesn't seem like justified true belief. The point I'm making is philosophy has a role to play here in defining our terms and helping us understand the world. So we can go to justified true belief as a source of knowledge. But
well,
to me,
back
but
to your,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Getting back to your example of the barns,
yeah,
that's a claim. The person that sees the barn or he thinks it's a barn, he's making a claim it's a barn.
Mm-hmm.
That's testable. You go out there, you look around, you tap on it, you look inside, you can tell it's a barn.
Mm-hmm.
The other structures that are fake facades, you can tell that they're fake facades. That's my point about science using. In fact, you know that science means knowledge in Latin, correct?
Scientia, that's right.
Yeah. So, because of that, I want to look at science as being a global term for.
Well, what is science then? I guess.
We're going around in a circle, Trent. Science is knowledge.
Okay, so is there any way to get knowledge without science?
It depends on whether you're talking about subjective knowledge. As I mentioned earlier in my definition of philosophy, I don't deny that there is subjective knowledge. But I'm talking about objective knowledge that can be looked at by many people, analyzed, and a conclusion can be made about what it is, and can it be falsified?
Okay,
or can it be accepted?
Then let's move then into is moral knowledge possible then? Because to me, earlier you said something I think was striking, that you said that there are not questions worth asking that science can't answer. And that to me seems patently false. I can think of several examples. One would be this. Are there moral truths that exist independently of human opinions? that's a huge question worth asking. But there's no way science, which deals with material physical forces, could ever adjudicate if there are universal moral truths independent of human opinion.
I agree 100% that that is an important question, and it's real. Moral values are very real. It's a category error to include that under knowledge. I already have mentioned that science is knowledge, but we're talking about objective knowledge, objective reality. Morals is like mathematics. It's a principle, and moral values can be understood, can be analyzed. It doesn't necessarily have to be coming from a particular source. For example, my understanding of morality is very simple. It comes from our evolutionary background, modified and manipulated by the culture, surroundings, socialization, and so forth.
Well, I think all philosophers would agree with you that people have moral beliefs that are conditioned by their culture. They'd agree with that. The question is, do those beliefs reflect deeper truths that transcend humans, or do humans create them? So the question we'd ask is this, the one that I would say science cannot possibly answer. Are moral values discovered or created?
I can't answer that, and you can't answer that in a definitive way either, mm-hmm. Trent.
Okay, but here's the thing.
In other words, from an objective knowledge standpoint, you can walk around, you can ask people their opinion on morality. Most people do have an opinion on morality.
Mm-hmm.
There's no total universal agreement on all principles of morality. However, normal people, people that don't have cognitive deficits, can tell you some basic things that have come about within the human species because of evolution, socialization, and so forth. One is love. There's no question about love being universal. There's no question about...
Is competition universal through evolution?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is competition that leads to killing and stealing resources universal from evolution?
No. It's not universal because in the history of humanity, human beings that have cooperated with one another, shown empathy, love, and so forth. In other words, all positive traits that we generally as human beings presently term moral, that's been by and large filtered through the generations of humanity to where we are today. Cultures have died out in the past because of not adhering to a handful of these moral principles.
So you're not talking, though, about which morals are true. You're just talking about which ones work.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a very pragmatic way to go about it. But I think some people would say that even if a moral principle, quote unquote, worked, that it depends what you mean by that to see whether it's true or not. Because it may work, for example, that a society that drowns disabled infants shortly after they're born may be fitter, but that doesn't mean it's a moral society.
Well, again, you're assuming, Trent, from your Catholic Christian background, that there is objective morality.
No, I'm not assuming. I would say that this is an example, and we're going back to something more basic here. Because I wanted to talk about, can we use philosophy to see if God exists? But the more basic question is, can we use philosophy to see if anything is true? And so I think that if there are questions with answers science cannot provide, then that opens up the door to philosophy and finding God. And to me, I think morality, that is a big one right there. That science can't possibly answer these questions. And you've just kind of been not be kind of pessimistic, saying, well, whether morality is discovered or invented nobody can know. Only because it can't be proven scientifically.
You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. There are universal goods that have been successful in the history of humanity. They've come from where we've come from, evolutionary
cooperation, approach. Providing
right.
for well-being.
But they've come. And if we didn't develop that, Trent, our species wouldn't be what it is right now.
Okay,
go ahead.
Is it, should our goal be the survival of the human species?
I don't like the term should.
Why not?
Because there's no objective morality in the sense of somebody promulgating from above the shoulds.
Okay,
the human race has been successful based on, as I say, a few or a handful of principles, moral principles that have been successful.
Successful at what?
Getting us where we are today.
So you're saying a principle is successful if it contributes to the flourishing of our species?
I would say so.
So that sounds like a value. That's a value judgment, not a science judgment.
I didn't say it was a science judgment. You're the one that's calling it a science judgment. I'm just saying it's just like mathematics. Morality is like mathematics. Mathematics have their own proofs, but morality, the proof of certain features of morality, essentially is the success of.
How can they be like that? Because, for example, hold on. If 2 plus 2 would equal 4, even if humanity went extinct, right?
Right.
Okay, so would moral truths still exist? Like, it's wrong to rape people. Like, rape is wrong. Would that still be true even if there weren't human beings around?
No.
Okay, so then morality's not like mathematics.
No, I didn't say it was exactly like mathematics, but it's a concept. It's not something you can touch. Mathematics is not something you can touch. Morality is not something you can touch. Morality involves social interaction. You would agree with that?
Oh, certainly.
And
it involves agents that know good
and
evil.
Without people, there would be no need for morality.
There would be no need for it, but the moral truths would exist, just like these mathematical truths exist, even if there aren't people who can do the mathematical problems.
They would exist in the sense that if the majority of people in a society, a group, a tribe, or whatever, did not adhere to certain social constructs, call it morality, it would not survive.
Okay, but it's not something objective like mathematics.
No.
So you couldn't say. Rape is just wrong for everyone. Rather, it's just really great that most people agree with that.
I would say that rape is wrong because it harms people. And harming people in the long run is not good.
Rape is wrong because it harms people. It is wrong
right.
to harm people?
Yes.
But what makes that... It sounds like you're saying what makes that statement true is just that it is wrong to harm people because it just causes more harm down the line.
Pretty much. If you talk about philosophy, I'm a utilitarian. Greatest good in general, basic. There's exceptions to it in my opinion, but the idea of the greatest good for the greatest number is a sound principle that I think has had more success than anything else as far as a moral philosophy.
So in one instance, then, you could cause harm, even harm, serious harm like rape, if it produced an overall benefit for everyone.
Perhaps.
Okay, well, that's...
Perhaps.
Well, that's not something I want to go to, but let's...
you're going off in tangents that
let's go back to the question of God. Let's go back to God then.
Yeah.
Do you think it's worth asking the question? Because there's It's weird to me when you say,
no,
well, there's...
Okay, Trent, you truncated my prepared presentation here. I want to go exactly to my second point.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't want to talk about philosophy anymore. There's no consensus on the methods to reach the truth through philosophy. Every argument or syllogism for interventionist deity contains unsupported assertions. There is every argument from theists are gods of the gaps.
How do you know? Before you can't just throw that.
I don't want to discuss it anymore, Trent. I don't want to discuss philosophy. I want to go to my second point about science-based thinking and why atheists believe what they believe and why we're under no obligation to prove anything. That was my second question. I'm done with philosophy. We're getting nowhere. Anytime we discuss philosophy...
No, because you've already said we can't have a conversation about God because you've said it's impossible for me to prove God exists.
That's true.
How is that not closed-minded thinking?
Because you can't. Getting to the science, Trent, every claim by every religion has been falsified. Case closed.
Like,
mic drop.
Like what?
Mic drop.
Has been falsified? Like what?
Yes. I'm not going to go into light what, because you told me before, Trent, that you didn't want to discuss the particulars. I'm telling you, and I'm telling your audience.
Go ahead.
I'm challenging them to falsify my statement.
What statement?
That all claims by all religions have been falsified. Now,
Christianity claims you should love your brother, love your neighbor as yourself. Has that been falsified?
All the claims of the basic religion, love your neighbor as yourself is not unique to, it's unique to humanity. It's not unique to any religion.
Okay, well then how about the claim God exists? No. You're saying that claim has been falsified?
Stop. No more philosophy The call is done. I want to go into the second part, or we're done. Simple as that. You're focusing on something that I opened up. It will never lead to reality.
I'm trying to understand. You said the claims of every major religion have been falsified.
Right. Okay. Now, okay.
Can I explore that?
No. Okay. If you want to explore that with me, you or your audience can send me an email, THOM, the first syllable of my first name, Thomas, dot RAFF, the first syllable of my last name, Rafferty, at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, any challenges, want more information, I will send you and I'll send your audience who replies a copy of a blog post I did several years ago called Letter to Christian Apologists. And if you read that and click on all the links, then I'll be glad to discuss it. I'm not going to discuss it now. It would take too long.
Okay. Before,
Trent, you agreed that it would take too long.
Yeah.
So don't pressure me into it.
Let's move. We don't have a lot of time left. So what's the next thing that we can just talk about?
Okay. Okay, science. Okay, we as you know, it's inductive reasoning. It doesn't prove anything. It's a matter of probability. It's uncertain, but plausibility is important. Have we seen this event or something like it before in our reality? If not, it requires extraordinary claims. I mean, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidences. Science is different from philosophy. As I said before, philosophy has no consensus. Science, the scientists working in the particular fields of expertise do develop consensus and agreed upon results based on observation and experimentation.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there. So science has reached consensus on specific questions. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and that consensus, Trent, essentially, is the best knowledge we have objectively of whatever the question is. It's done by humans. Humans are not perfect. The course of science has been rocky at times, but there's been a general trend of improvement of the welfare of human beings, as well as the understanding of our objective reality. There's no other system that's done that.
No other system that's done what? Well, what's funny is it sounds like you're saying the welfare of human beings is important.
It is.
Well, that's a normative claim. That's not a scientific claim.
No, but it shows that it's successful in the human realm.
Yeah, science is good at making agriculture, and it's also good at making anthrax. It's good at making stuff to accomplish our goals.
Okay. Let me go through my notes here.
I hope you don't hang up, because here's my thing. You said that, I'm sorry, I have to put it out there. You said that science has falsified religious claims, including the existence of God. I'll give you this. Science doesn't prove whether God exists. It's outside of science's domain.
I know that.
But that doesn't mean that it's not something we can think about. There are other, because here's another claim. The only things that exist are those things that science can detect. That seems to be a claim like you're operating under.
No. All I'm saying is, we don't know. If there's a claim without supporting evidence, I don't know is the only honest response, no matter what the claim is.
But what do you mean by evidence?
I mean objective evidence that can be evaluated by others through experimentation or observation.
Okay, so it needs scientific evidence.
Right. Anything that's not answerable through science is an unknown.
So we can't know anything about morality. We also we can't even know other people have minds like ours.
Through experimentation, we know much about the human mind. We know when a person has thoughts, certain characteristics show up on CAT scans, MRIs, and that sort of thing.
So we see electrical signals, but we don't see
electrical things. We see the result of thinking. We see the result of a mind.
So we see the physical result of an immaterial thing that we can't see.
It's not immaterial. The mind is evolves or emanates from the brain. That's one thing I would bring up in that post I was talking about. The mind comes from the brain, most probably by the consensus of the scientists from different fields actually working on the question. You think there's a soul. There's absolutely no evidence for a soul.
Okay. Well, I don't want to. I'm
may
not.
Be. There may be a soul. It's one of those unanswered questions, Trent. We just don't know.
Okay. So here's the thing. I don't want to get down the rabbit hole of talking about a soul, because we're still going along. But
some
people believe God. You know, God. If you believe that as a coherent concept. That would be a subject for a different discussion to have, because there's philosophers who do believe it's a coherent concept. They just don't believe in God. So that there's no.
Well, it's a coherent concept because it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, that's it. So the question
possible.
Is,
how, I don't deny that.
Right. Okay. Great. Then that's the issue. Then is okay. So if this is possible, how could we go about showing whether it's actual or not? And so it seems to me that
science,
but that assumes, so it sounds like you're assuming the only things that exist are material, because science can't prove an immaterial thing exists.
Yes, it can. Well, let me back up here. I was going to close. Where is it here? Okay. The question I was going to pose to you towards the end, I might as well bring out now.
Go ahead.
The question
blend
comes
with this.
Out. I'm sure you're aware of Stephen Jay Gould's non-overlapping magisteria, correct?
DOMA, yes.
Yeah, NOMA.
NOMA, DOMA is Defense of Marriage Act. NOMA.
Yeah. Facts versus values and so forth. That's wrong. That's wrong. And it's wrong because religions make claims on our reality. They just don't talk about the nebulous supernatural. They talk about claims on our reality. They talk about, okay, original sin. They talk about the soul. They talk about a number of things that can be addressed by science. Any claim on our reality that's testable, and many, many claims by religions, all religions, can be testable. And they've all been tested. They've all been shown to probably not be true. They're falsified. Not proved. Coming down the pike, if some entity appears in a way, and I don't know what that way would be, but it's possible. But I'm not under any obligation to accept any claim unless it's testable. Any objective reality.
Do you accept the claim, we have no good reason to believe God exists?
I accept the claim, yeah, I do, because I accept that claim because science has not accepted the claims.
Is there a way that claim could be falsified?
Yeah, sure.
Could you give me a hypothetical example?
No, I really can't. You have the onus. You have the obligation to somehow show me and other science-based atheists that there is a reason. There's been no reason.
But how do I know that it just isn't the case no reason would ever satisfy you?
I don't know. All I know is try me.
Okay, how about...
I think the best thing that we can do right now...
How about a miracle? God appears and he can miraculously tell the future and answer any question you ask him.
If it can be objectively certified, yeah. If it happens to a number of people and there's physical evidence for that, perhaps.
So you're just saying that if something happens that can't be proven to have a natural explanation, then you would say that that's evidence for God?
Perhaps. But I have to assume that all exhaustion of natural causes has occurred.
Okay, so
the default in science is Occam's razor. Simple. We know nature. We know there's a nature. We don't know from a scientific standpoint of a supernatural. So Occam's razor basically points to the fact that unless there is clear evidence of something supernatural, natural, our first opinion should be it is part of the natural world,
But going back to that though, and I don't mind going back to that, if your claim there's no good reason for God can in principle be falsified, I'm trying to figure out how. And it sounded like you agreed that if a Christian could show there is something that does not have a natural explanation, it follows that God exists.
Yes, but that's such a high bar, Trent. Very high bar. It's never been exceeded. It's never been met.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
again, I'm not going to go into the weeds. Read my blog post.
Okay, then I guess
I'm not
others.
Going into the weeds.
All right, then other people will have to read that as well. We've reached
exactly.
the end of our time together. I thank you, Tom, for joining us on the show, and I hope the rest of our listeners benefited from this and continue to think deeply, as what philosophy is, to think really hard about these important questions. Tom, thanks for being here.
I agree with that, Trent. Have a good day.
All righty.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.